This is Jim Field.
And Stacy Linfer.
And this is your Nish Nivalli for Easter weekend.
Yeah.
Happy Easter.
Happy Easter to you.
Hope you have an opportunity to get together with friends. You guys doing anything special?
Yep. We'll have Sunday lunch and then Sunday supper.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Two opportunities.
Yeah. I'll be stuffed.
At the same place?
No. The lunch will be with Mike's family, and then the supper will be with my family at my parents' house.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Very good. Get a chance to please everyone in the family.
Yeah, it'll be nice.
That doesn't happen often.
It's hard to do. It's hard to do to get everybody to, you know, have a certain time or day open that works.
And yeah.
We make it work.
Well, good.
Yeah.
We're just spending a quiet day at home.
Yeah.
With some special food, of course.
Well, of course.
Because food has to be a big part of it.
That most important part of the holiday? No, I'm just kidding.
Well, yeah, for some folks it is, Stacy.
Maybe.
We like the food. What's your favorite Easter food?
Ham. I don't get that often, so it's kind of the big time is holidays for ham.
Is that pretty much on the menu every year at Easter at your place? Or wherever you happen to light?
Yeah. Yes, it is.
You know, it's funny. You get different answers from folks. Some people, you know, when you get to Christmas,
mm-hmm.
Or Thanksgiving. It seems like the Christmas and Thanksgiving meals tend to be a lot similar.
Yeah.
A lot of folks like to have turkey and stuff, and they'll have the usual trimmings with all of those kinds of things. So when you ask them what their favorite food is for that holiday, sometimes you get the turkey, sometimes you get the stuffing, sometimes it's the cranberry sauce. Mm-hmm. For some folks, it's all those pies, pumpkin pie and things. But when you ask them about Easter, really, what else is there?
Besides the ham?
Yeah. Maybe the sweet potatoes smothered in marshmallows.
That's true.
Those types of things. But when you think about foods that are uniquely Easter, foods that you're going to eat.
Right.
Don't eat the colored eggs.
No.
Colored eggs are primarily just for decoration and for fun and games.
Yeah.
Not so much to eat. Sometimes that dye sinks through. Not
gross.
So good. Yeah. Well, not so good. And plus, they've been sitting out for a while.
Yeah,
that's the other thing. Be safe about that stuff, too. You know, if you have young kids and you're going to do your own little Easter egg hunt, sometimes it's best not to use real eggs. They look nice, but you can get, like I said, when they've been taken out of the refrigerator for long periods of time and then you've, you know, thrown a little ink on the outside of them, those shells don't really hold a lot.
No.
So, you want to be a little careful about those kinds of things. Now, Wyatt's old enough. He's 2+ years old now.
Yeah.
He's old enough to have fun with Easter.
Yes.
Maybe for
the first
time.
I'm hoping, yeah.
Yeah. So
when we went to the Easter egg hunt last year, I just kind of stood around and really didn't know what to do. And he'd be like, okay, pick that one up, you know, and he'd just kind of slowly pick it up and, okay, well, now what? So hopefully this year he'll be able to maybe run a little bit for him.
He didn't grasp the concept of pick it up fast before that other kid shoves you down and grabs it instead of you?
No, because then, you know, we're like, okay, let's go over here. Here's one. And then, of course, you know, somebody comes running and gets it. It's like, okay, well, so that year we actually didn't get any eggs, but you still get a treat for him and stuff. But
what about at home when the Easter bunny makes his appearance and leaves some goodies behind?
We didn't do an Easter egg hunt at home last year. This year... I saw something on Pinterest where you plant jelly beans and then you take them out the next morning and suckers are there instead of the jelly beans. So I'm going to do that. Probably just like in a flower pot. I don't know about doing the whole yard full of that. But I do have some Easter eggs. I could probably hopefully have time, maybe hide a few around the living room or something for them.
Do they get Easter baskets when they wake up?
Yes, they do.
Oh, goody.
Yes.
Well, Brianna probably won't understand that or be able to eat any of it. But
no, she's not getting any candy, but she's got some toys.
Good. Yeah, Wyatt'll, yikes. He'll be so hopped up on sugar by the end of the day.
I actually don't give him too much candy and that kind of stuff because I know the grandparents do.
Yeah.
So I just let them have their fun with the candy. And
I think that's
plenty that way.
And I think that's actually where the whole Easter bunny thing comes in. You know, where'd this Easter bunny thing ever come from? Why would a bunny deliver eggs? How does that make any sense?
Right.
Well, you know, I have my own theory on that.
Okay.
I think the Easter bunny came in because an Easter bunny hops.
Yeah.
And what is Easter? It's a day to get kids hopped up on sugar.
True.
So that's where the whole Easter bunny thing comes from. That's my story.
And you're sticking to it.
I'm sticking to it. You betcha. That's what I've got. I think my mom and dad would agree.
Yeah.
Now, the worst part about Easter, if there's a bad side to Easter, you know what it is?
That finding eggs later?
Green grass.
No, I do not buy that.
Ooh, her mood just changed.
No, I can't stand that stuff. No.
Yeah, I know my mom used to. You know, she'd always put all the stuff in there, and we didn't like it so much either. Because, you know, you think about it, when you start putting things in there, perhaps a chocolate bunny that's unwrapped, maybe some of those little marshmallow peeps, you know, and things in there. When those things get a little bit warm, when they start to warm up a little bit and they get a little, you know, the sugary stuff starts to, you know, and it gets sticky. And then you grab one out of the Easter basket and you got all that fake green grass stuck to it.
Yeah, it does look nice, but yeah, it's just not practical in my mind, so I don't use it.
Well, and you know how long after Easter you're still
finding it?
Vacuuming that stuff up?
Yeah, true.
You vacuum, right?
Some areas.
Yeah.
That's why I'm going all hardwood floors or
a lot easier.
Bedrooms only.
Yeah, it's the green grass, that fake green grass stuff, I understand its purpose and all.
Yeah.
But
it is a pain.
It's a little tough. What I've seen some people do is go out, you know, sometimes during the Christmas season when folks will want to put together a little display on the shelf and they go out, I don't know what it's called, but they get that fluffy white stuff that, you know, that they set out.
Oh, yeah, my mom does that.
And it looks like a blanket of snow. Mm-hmm. I know some folks will use those in Easter baskets also.
Oh, that's an idea.
You know, dye them green, I suppose.
I may be crazy, but is there edible grass?
Oh, I don't know.
For some reason, I thought I had heard that or read that.
Maybe there is.
Maybe I'm just crazy, though, too.
Well, there's no maybe about that, but yeah, I don't know. I there might be. It would make sense.
I mean, if there was that, I would get that.
Well, it makes a lot more sense because then it's usable
stuff.
You can
use it, yeah.
Otherwise, the other fake green grass, you just leave it in the basket.
For that one day, and you just throw it away, yeah. So what's
the
point?
I suppose reuse it next year or throw it out or whatever.
True.
But, you know.
I don't need to keep stuff like that stored around.
But it just doesn't have enough of a purpose in my mind to warrant spending any money on it.
Right.
It's just, just gets in the way. So, you know, that I guess that's the downside.
Or you just leave it in the package itself.
Yeah,
Not gonna have to worry about cleanup.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Just leave it in the package. Yeah. So you got green grass in there, but it's still in plastic.
Yep.
You can just set everything on top of it.
Yeah.
And there you go. Well, that would be fine. Well, okay. Well, that's enough of the negative about Easter, because there's really not much negative.
No,
it's
not
just,
at all.
That's not a negative. It's just a pet peeve.
Yes.
There are way too many positives. Family, food,
the reason yes.
That we have Easter, of course, the reason we celebrate in the first place. But yeah, it's a good time. Hope you get a chance to enjoy all that stuff and have some good food. You know, and Easter being late this year, you know, into the latter part of April. Last year it was in March, so it was pretty early. I like it better this way.
I do too.
I really do. It just feels, I know the weather hasn't always, not every day it's not been springy, but I think to me Easter should be like the start of the spring season.
It definitely makes you feel like, gets you in the mood for it. And when it's Easter, then it's, you just know it's springtime.
Exactly.
We're in March, you know, I don't think, last year wasn't bad, but I remember it being cold and it's just not fun doing Easter egg hunt when it's freezing out.
Yeah, and last year we did have snow on May 1st, so.
Yes, yeah.
Not a lot, but. Snow on
we had
May
1st. It, yeah.
So, you know, you never know when all that stuff's going to happen anyway. But, yeah, in my mind, it's always kind of been to me that Easter should be kind of the unofficial start of the spring season. And, you know, once you hit Easter, it should be the time where you can get out and enjoy things. You shouldn't have to go to an outdoor public Easter egg hunt
with a winter coat
and hat and big mittens on. And I just don't think the kids are probably having as much fun as they should.
I'm sure it's harder to run.
Yeah, maybe a sweatshirt or a light jacket and just a good time. And, you know, rainy days, well, you can't do much about that either. But so many of the communities around here had Easter egg hunts. Some of them last week, a bunch of them here this weekend on Saturday. So hope they had a great day. Hope they had a good time. Hope they got all the things they wanted.
Yeah.
Had fun. Got mom and dad outside for a while.
Yeah.
Now maybe if that grass turns just a little bit greener.
A little greener, yeah.
It'll start to feel more like spring turning towards summer.
I saw a picture on Pinterest that was like, this year instead of hiding the Easter eggs, I'm just going to say good luck. And it showed a picture below it of like all the snow that we just got here recently. You know, it's like, yeah, that's pretty true right now.
Sorry about your bad luck.
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you get to this point in the year, though, I know a lot of folks get the itch to get outside, do some gardening, do some different types of things. You know, maybe golfing is it for you. Maybe biking is it. Just going out for a walk or a hike or something. But so many people enjoy getting out, working in the garden, which is a workout, by the way.
Yeah.
It's not easy. It's not easy stuff.
No, it's not.
It's relaxing. It can be a good mind regenerator. It's nice to get away from things, especially if you leave that doggone cell phone in the house. And just go out and listen to the birds and have a little fun outside for a while. But, you know, if you're planting, one of the things that the horticulturalists at Iowa State University talk about this time of the year is planting rhubarb.
Okay.
I love rhubarb. You just can't find it in stores. if you could go buy it someplace, it'd be great.
Yeah.
You know, outside of the farmer's markets and stuff. But even there, you better be there early.
Oh, yeah. Gets to take quick.
Yeah, it goes pretty quick. You need to have a friend or a buddy somewhere who's got some rhubarb in the backyard. They don't mind sharing.
Yeah.
But rhubarb, oh, boy, good stuff. But, you know, if you're thinking about planting or replanting, you know, some rhubarb, actually, it's, you know, obviously this is a good time to do it. It performs best in well-drained, fertile soils that are high in organic matter. So what they suggest is that you work the soil pretty deeply, you know, dig it out about 12 to 15 inches, and then add a whole bunch of organic matter, compost, barnyard manure, stuff like that, before you plant. That way it's got plenty of what it needs. Rhubarb also requires full sun. If you want a rhubarb patch, don't plant it under your favorite shade tree. Not a good idea. The planting site needs to receive at least 6 hours of direct sun each day. So you want to avoid shady sites like trees, shrubs, that type of thing. You want to make sure you're, I would suppose probably maybe the east side, or not the, yeah, the east side of your home, or the south side of your home would be best. Here in the northern hemisphere, that's where you're probably going to get the best sun. You know, you get some afternoon sun and all, too, if you go on the west side, but might not be quite as much, depending upon. So, yeah, good places to plant. The best time to plant rhubarb in Iowa is in the spring. And those plants, you can buy them at garden centers. You can get them through mail-order catalogs. A lot of folks just dig and divide large existing plants, whether it's from a friend's house or a relative's house. Sometimes folks will move. They'll buy a new home. They had a rhubarb patch out back. They'll dig them up, take them with them. Or digs part of them up.
Yeah.
Plants growing in pots need to be planted at the same depth that they are currently growing in their pots. But if you buy bare root plants, they should be planted with the buds 1 to 2 inches below the soil surface. They suggest that you dig and divide the large plants in early spring before growth starts and as soon as the soil can be worked easily, which is probably about now. Dig deeply around that rhubarb clump and then lift the entire existing plant out of the ground. And you want to divide that clump into sections by cutting down through the crown between the buds. So each division should contain at least 2 or 3 buds and a large portion of the root system. And then you want to replant those divisions as soon as you can. When you replant the rhubarb, make sure they're spaced about 3 feet apart because they will spread too.
Mm-hmm.
There are different varieties of rhubarb. Canada Red, Crimson Red, McDonald, and Valentine. Those are the ones that have those red stalks.
Mm-hmm.
And those are usually pretty good choices for folks who like to garden here in Iowa. If you like the green colored, the green-stalked ones, Victoria is a good one that grows here as well. And then, you know, that's the good news, if you're going to do all that now. The bad news is you won't be enjoying that rhubarb if you replant it right away. After you plant rhubarb, they say it's best to wait 2 growing seasons before you harvest any of the stalks.
Oh, geez.
Darn it.
Yeah.
But the 2-year establishment period allows those plants to become strong and productive, and that way they'll produce for years and years and years. Rhubarb can be harvested over a 4-week period in the 3rd year, and then in the 4th year and after, you can harvest stalks for about 8 to 10 weeks. So like I said, I kind of look at rhubarb as being kind of like...
Well, geez, if you want, yeah.
Well, it's kind of like sweet corn.
You got a waiting
corn.
Time on that.
Yeah, it's kind of like sweet corn to me. You know, you wait all year, you love sweet corn. Yeah, you can get some at other times of the year.
Not
locally grown sweet corn. It's not as good.
No.
Rhubarb, kind of the same way. It's got a limited time frame where you can enjoy it. But a lot of folks do freeze it, bag it, freeze it, and whatever they want to do with it. That way they can use it at different times. But boy, if you like rhubarb crisp or rhubarb pie or rhubarb cake, rhubarb anything.
Yeah.
It's good stuff. Rhubarb, sugar, a lot of cinnamon. Good stuff. Good stuff.
That was good
stuff. I really enjoy that stuff, so I hope you get a chance. Yeah, you never really had rhubarb much growing up.
Not until, really, from you, when you brought in the rhubarb crisp. And,
yeah.
Which is weird, since my mom has a line of rhubarb at her
house.
I'll
be visiting soon.
I'm sure she'll be happy with that.
Well, that's good stuff. Folks that enjoy rhubarb, we had it growing up.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother had a big rhubarb patch in the backyard, and it was our job as grandkids to go out and take care of it, tend to it, and the rhubarb doesn't take
Eat
much
it,
tending
yeah.
to, but... But yeah, there were, I don't remember this necessarily, but my mom tells me that, yeah, we used to just go out back and cut the stalks off when they were fresh and just dip the stalks in a little sugar and eat them just like that. You know, the rhubarb is tart and the sugar is sweet.
Yeah,
it's the perfect combination.
Out, yeah.
You know, and then when you add cinnamon to it, wow, that's just like a party in your mouth. It's good stuff.
Oh.
Good stuff. Well, hope you enjoy your rhubarb. Get that taken care of so you can have some good stuff here for a long time. We need to take a short break. Stay with us. We'll tell you about some things going on here in the Nishna Valley right after this.
Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cache County Memorial Hospital.
Generally, occupational therapy focuses specifically on hand and wrist and elbow injuries, while physical therapy addresses the back and lower body issues, any kind of leg, hip fractures, knee problems, etc. And physical therapy often works with a patient's mobility, their ability to transfer and ambulate, while occupational therapy would focus more on the patient's everyday tasks, such as dressing and bathing, preparing meals, things like that. And occupational therapy also tends to work a little bit more with cognitive issues, testing for cognitive decline and whether a patient is able to function safely on their own at home or if they would benefit from having more supervision. We complete safety evaluations in patients' homes to make recommendations so they can increase their safety and reduce their fall risk. There's a lot of areas where we overlap, but there's a lot of differences in what our goals are too. So
again, that's Rachel Hansen, occupational therapist at Cass County Memorial Hospital.
Let's take a look at some of the things going on. I know it's Easter weekend, and there were a lot of things going on Saturday. Sunday's kind of, you know, family day, but there are some things happening here in the coming days.
There is, especially with, like you said, with the nice weather, things are getting outdoors now, like garage sales. The deadline for the Highway 71 community garage sale, it's for Audubon, Exire, and Brain. The deadline to get in on that is April 21st, and the registration fee is $15. So if you're in Audubon, you can contact the Audubon Chamber of Commerce, and in Exire and Brayton, you can contact Judy Bittner at 268-2600. The description will be limited to 100 words or less, and the Highway 71 community garage sale will be held on May 3rd. But if you want to get your name in on the flyers and the maps, the deadline for that is on Monday, April 21st. Red Cross Blood Drive is coming up on Tuesday, April 22nd. That will be at Molly from noon to 4. A Stewards of Children workshop is to help prevent child sexual abuse. Will be held in Exire at the Exire Library on April 22nd from 6:30 to 9:30. There is no cost for the training opportunity, and it is open to the public. And you get training approved for credit for foster parents and child care providers. If you'd like to register for that, you can call 792-6440. Again, the Stewards of Children workshop is on April 22nd, and that is from 6:30 to 9 p.m. at the Exira Library. In observance of Earth Day, the Atlantic Royal Neighbors is sponsoring a cleanup at the Shelburg Recreation Area. That's on April 22nd. That starts at 4. They just ask that you park in the west parking lot, wear some old clothes, old shoes, and bring your own gloves. They will provide the plastic bags, and everyone is welcome to help clean up the park. Again, that's on April 22nd, and that's at 4 at the Shelburg Recreation Area. St. Paul's Lutheran Church, they're having their spring rummage and bake sale coming up on April 23rd. It's from 4 to 7, and then again on April 24th from 8 a.m. to 2. They'll have lots of different things like plants and collectibles, households, clothes, baked goods, and much more. And they just ask that you use the West Door. So that's the St. Paul's Lutheran Church spring rummage and bake sale on April 23rd from 4 to 7, and then again on April 24th from 8 to 2. The CCMH Auxiliary's 28th Annual Spring Soup and Salad Luncheon is on April 23rd from 11 to 1. That's at the Catholic Parish Center in Atlantic. $6 per person. If you'd like reservations, you can call Marcella Gaines at 243-5326 or Linda Merrick at 762-4560. And, of course, walk-ins are welcome. So that's the Cass County Memorial Hospital Auxiliary 28th Annual Spring Soup and Salad Luncheon, April 23rd from 11 to 1. And that's at the Catholic Parish Center in Atlantic. Coming up later the week, Friends of the Atlantic Library, their spring used book sale. It's a couple days of the book sale. It's April 24th from 11 to 5:30, and then on Friday, April 25th from 9:30 to 6, and on Saturday from 9:30 to noon. And proceeds from that go to the Atlantic Public Library. The Cass County Conservation Board, they're holding a free wildflower walk. That's on April 26th at 9 a.m. That will be held at the Pellet Memorial Woods, which is just outside of Atlantic. You can join them for a walk through the early spring wildflowers, where you'll learn the names and uses and history of these wildflowers. And those in attendance will have the opportunity to view one of Southwest Iowa's best locations to observe spring woodland wildflowers. And also going on at that same time, it's a come and go. It's a wildflower geocaching walk from 10 a.m. to noon, and then you'll have GPS units and guides will be available for checkout. You just need to pre-register for that, though, so that way you'll have a GPS unit for that walk. And then the Pellet Memorial Gardens is located just outside of Atlantic. It's a half a mile north and three-quarter mile east of us here at KJAN.
Do you know some folks who geocache?
I don't.
The people that,
you do, don't you?
Yeah, there are a few people that I know of that do that. It's really catching on.
Really?
And it's, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Everybody has their different likes. I mean, some people go out and ride bikes, and they look at people walking on sidewalks and think, why are they walking when they could ride a bike, you know?
Right.
Everybody has different likes,
yeah.
You know? And that's, I guess if you're into that kind of thing and you enjoy it, hey,
well,
more power
yeah.
to you. You know, at least they're doing something that gets them outside.
Exactly.
You know, so many kids these days never, you know, their rear end never leaves the couch.
To sit in front of the TV.
Yeah, TV, the computer, all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. At least they're using technology.
Outdoors.
With the GPS. Yeah, but they're doing it outdoors.
Yeah.
Get some fresh air and enjoy life. Enjoy the world. So,
yeah, so I believe the way it works is then they'll have a flower for each spot.
Excellent.
Again, that's on April 26th at 9 a.m. for the Wildflower Walk, and they'll have that come and go for the geocaching from 10 to noon. The Marnie Mason's Country Lunch is coming up April 27th. That will be held at the Marnie Fire Station. That's from 4 to 7. And they'll be serving a variety of soups along with sandwiches, pies, and drink. It's $7 for adults and just $3.50 for children under 10. That's the Marnie Mason's Country Lunch, April 27th at the Marnie Fire Station from 4 to 7. Also, Peace Havens, they're having their annual May Day breakfast. That's coming up. May is almost here on May 1st from 8:30 to 10 a.m. And that's at the Peace Haven Retirement Home and Dining Room. And that's presented by the Peace Haven Women's Auxiliary. Again, that's the Peace Haven's annual May Day breakfast, May 1st, 8:30 to 10 a.m. in the Peace Haven Retirement Home Dining Room.
Lots of stuff.
Yes, it is.
There are a few other things that the Conservation Board here in Cass County is sponsoring that are coming up not too far down the road. One of them I wanted to share with you, too, is the Hitchcock Pioneer Skills Festival. And that'll be on Saturday, May 3rd. It's the 22nd annual Skills Festival. What they do is they invite you to come down to the Hitchcock House, which is a national landmark and an old stop on the Underground Railroad. It's just west of Lewis. And they do some old-style skills like tin punching, rope making. That doesn't even sound like fun. That sounds like a lot of work. Butter making. That is a lot of work.
Yeah.
And then many other skills that were vital to pioneer survival. They'll have an event from the public from 1 until 4 that afternoon on Saturday, May 3rd. And they'll have a $5 fee for a tour of the Hitchcock House. If you've never been in, have you been to the Hitchcock
yes.
House, haven't you?
Yes.
I assume a lot of the school kids around here mm-hmm. have that opportunity. Is that how you
yes.
first got in there?
Yep, in elementary.
Yep. So if you've never been in there, it's a must see. It's a must do event here in the area.
Kind of creepy. They take you to where they're hiding, and it's weird.
A little bit. It says BYOM, which I assume is bring your own mug for some apple cider.
Oh well, I'd hope so.
So have some fun there too, and enjoy some of those things. Yeah, they got lots of different things going on. And by the way, speaking of the Cass County Conservation Board too. The summer camps that they sponsor along with ISU Extension here in Cass County are also open for registration. So if folks are thinking about it, you might be able to learn some more information, too. They have some different types of, they have an adventure camp this year, and there are some different things going on. So the registration fee is just $10 for most of those. So make sure you check those out. The deadlines are down the road a bit. You have plenty of time. But start thinking about those things.
Yeah.
Maybe the kids will enjoy those kinds of things this summer. A few other events going on here very soon. The Spring Fling fundraiser at the Kirkman Community Building will be held on Saturday, April 26th. That'll be from 5 to 7:30 p.m. They'll be serving brisket sandwiches, potato salad, green beans, chips, bars, and refreshments. Takeouts will be available as well. They're asking for your free will donation. And the money raised will be used for repair and maintenance on the Kirkman Community Building. So that's April 26th. Also, the Erling Knights of Columbus, Council 1741, will be celebrating their 100th anniversary jubilee on Sunday, April 27th, with a mass at St. Joseph's Church in Erling at 9:30. They'll follow that up at 11:30 with lunch, Staley's Roast Beef Dinner. $11 if you get your tickets in advance, $12 at the door, and $6 for those students 10 years of age and younger. There'll be door prizes, refreshments, entertainment. Everyone is welcome. And again, that's Sunday, April 27th, celebrating their 100th anniversary. And also, I notice here a 40th anniversary event coming up, April 25th. The folks at the Adair Congregate Meal site are going to be celebrating their 40th year. They'll have festivities starting at 11 a.m. with a roast beef dinner, and they'll have some entertainment. And they do ask for reservations. You should make those by April 23rd by calling the Adair Senior Center at 641-742-5202. They say that the local area agency began the meal site in Adair in 1974, and the first location was at the Catholic Church Hall, and Mary Rokols was the manager. The meal site then moved to its new location on Main Street in 1979, and then Mary retired in 1983, and Sylvia Plowman was hired as the new manager, and she stayed until she retired in 2012, and then the agency was taken over by Connections Area Agency on Aging, based in Council Bluffs. The meals now are cooked and delivered from Greenfield 3 days a week, and Katie Bentley is the current manager. So some good history there, too. 40th year celebration, again, that's April 25th for the Adair Meal Site with some entertainment and a roast beef dinner. Get a hold of the folks at the Senior Center in Adair by April 23rd to get your reservations. That's all I have there.
All right.
Got some birthdays?
I do. Let's see here. We'd like to wish happy birthday to Marge Smith of Atlantic. She'll be celebrating her 80th birthday on April 22nd. If you'd like to send her a card, wish her happy birthday, you can send that to her at 908 Chestnut Street. That's here in Atlantic, 50022. So happy birthday to Marge Smith, celebrating her 80th birthday on April 22nd. And again, her address is 908 Chestnut Street in Atlantic, 50022. Also, happy birthday to Elma Linen of Portsmouth, celebrating her 80th birthday on April 24th. And her family is planning a card show in her honor, and you can send her a card to P.O. Box 143, Portsmouth, Iowa, 51565. Elma has 17 grandchildren and 11 great-grandchildren. Again, so happy birthday to Elma Linen of Portsmouth, celebrating her 80th birthday on April 24th. And send her a card, wish her happy birthday, to P.O. Box 143, Portsmouth, Iowa, 51565. Happy birthday to Doris DeWitt, celebrating his 90th birthday with a open house and card shower. That's on April 26th. The open house will be held at the Griswold Care Center in Griswold, and that's from 2 to 4. And they just ask that you help them shower her with 90 cards for her birthday. Cards can be sent to her at the care center. So happy birthday to Doris DeWitt, celebrating her 90th birthday on April 26th. Over at the Salem Lutheran Home, we'd like to wish happy birthday to Priscilla Hansen, celebrated her birthday on April 26th, and upcoming to Merlin Mulgard, celebrating her birthday on April 29th. That's over at the Salem Lutheran Home. And do you have any anniversaries?
I do. I have one anniversary here to share with you. Damian and Pat Kinkle of Panama will have their 50th wedding anniversary with an open house on Saturday, April 26th. And that'll be from 7:30 to 9 p.m. at St. Mary's Parish Center in Panama. And, of course, friends and family are all invited to attend. So congratulations and a happy 50th anniversary to Damian and Pat Kinkle of Panama, as they have their open house again from 7:30 to 9 p.m. at St. Mary's Parish Center in Panama on Saturday, April the 26th.
Okay, and we have a birth. A baby girl was born to Darren and Maggie Woltman of Sycamore, Illinois. They had a baby girl, Eden Everly Woltman. Grandparents are Michael and Gail Woltman of Kingston, Illinois. They're former Walnut graduates. And great-grandparents are David and Mary Ellen Woltman of Harlan, and Craig and Karen Johnson of Rogers, Arkansas, their former Walnut residents, and great-great-grandparents Betty Griffith of Walnut and Ray Hemmingham of Rogers, Arkansas, and he's a former Harlan resident. So congratulations to Darren and Maggie Woltman of Sycamore, Illinois, on their birth of their daughter. Oh, that's on April 11th, Eden Everly Woltman. Congratulations.
Excellent. Yeah. Very good. And we appreciate them sharing us, too, so we could share it with others. If you have any of that type of information you'd like to share with other folks and you'd like us to do all the heavy lifting for you, make sure you send it to us.
Yes.
Plenty in the right time frame so that we can use that here on our program as well. Well, I hope you have a happy Easter weekend. Maybe a chance to get outside and enjoy some decent weather, too.
I hope so, yeah.
Very good. This is Jim Field.
And Stacey Linfer.
And this has been your Nishna Valley.